and I'm talking to people.
Yeah, being the white majority population doesn't really help with our culture, because for minorities, it's easy to celebrate that, while for us, it's like, yeah, you're just cool. And like, yeah, there's the whole pretense of history in that, right? Where being the majority, you're the norm, so you can't really talk about your own culture. Like, I find myself, like, you can't talk about white pride or anything, but you have to dig back and you have to be more specific. Like, I'm English, I'm Ukrainian. You can't just, like, and that's part of the reason why this movement's gaining so much traction, is because they're one minority and they're able to join together. Sure, like, I'm really broad and generalized and stuff. Like, I know it's diverse membership in that, but I don't know. It's like, it's, well, the minority versus the oppressor in this case. And this isn't, like, distinct to just Canada. Like, it happens all over the world. That is history. There's always a history of the defender and the conqueror, or, well, the oppressed and the oppressor, kind of deal. And it's interesting how this is peaceful, like, trying to take your culture back, instead of just assimilating like most people would. Like, that's happened in most of the world. Like, it's just interesting to take a step back and look at the world.
Well, I mean, we have to reinvent our identity outside of the oppressor identity, you know? And it's not something that, like, culturally, that we have a story that kind of can carry us forward into that identity, right? Like, we're forging that story kind of right now, you know? So it's not, and that's not easy.
Yeah.
It's almost ironic that a lot of the people that came to colonize, they were oppressed in their homelands.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to the new land and they wanted the native indigenous people became the oppressed. Where did they go? They had no option to go to another land. They were destroyed. So it's like she said, their reserves became prisons. They left their prison. They came. Very sad. I don't think how can we make this work for everybody? And that was the original intent. But over the years, as the government was more involved, the indigenous people started giving them more money. And that creates a dependence. It's really hard to break.
Professor! She's a doctor. But
well, and it's—I mean, in many ways, it was a forced. You were forced into dependence. It's like you know, even if you want to act in a sovereign manner and take care of yourself and your children and your family, you can't. Like, you just aren't even allowed to do that. That's one of the things that I'm so happy about. Did anybody get to go to any of the Truth and Reconciliation hearings? No, they. I don't know if the ones in Edmonton have passed already. I don't know if anybody knows. Anyway, it's an opportunity to go and hear some of the stories of the Indian residential schools from the survivors that are sharing their stories in public spaces. And I think that, I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, for example, if you have a thorn or something that's made its way into your body, you have to actually cut that wound open to remove the poison before you can actually heal. And I think that that's a lot of the things that are happening, that are coming, the good things that are coming from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, is that, you know, it's teaching us to have these difficult conversations in a way that hopefully will move us forward in bringing our cultures together. Because there's that understanding that happens there as well.
Yeah, I think we desperately need that understanding too. Because, you know, I wonder what does it take to actually build a connection with police and with the land? You know, a farmer might spend his whole life, you know, working the land, and maybe only late in his life will he actually gain a true understanding of those who came before him and and of the police. And so, you know, when we talk about the natives being oppressed, they're the ones we really need to lean on when trying to understand this place, because they have such a rich history here. And, you know, so maybe it's our, maybe it's a bit of our ignorance or a bit of our immaturity here in Canada that's, you know, causing us to be this way. You know. So,
Reminds me of our book, which would be a good introduction to this discussion, called Wisdom of the Elders by David Suzuki and some of the indigenous elders from all over the world, I think. And it talks about indigenous people from South America, Europe, Australia, Canada, all over the place. And each chapter gives you a little more, allows you to look into the culture. One of the things that I remember is that I think it was in South America, the central before they went to pray and go out and hunt. Anyways, he shot this big monster of a bear. So brings it back to the village. And he tells the people that he didn't shoot it because he didn't want to let them know that he actually kills part of the spirit. And his eyes were cut. Because he didn't want the bear, he was so ashamed that yes, his family needs to know that, but also the village. This was pretty powerful, pretty overwhelming, and it really puts him in a space of exactly what you're talking about. How do I understand? And to me, it was kind of another step up. It was indigenous people, and the word sacred is something that they use quite often. And when we hear the word sacred, people say, oh, well, that's religious. It may be religious, but it's sacred. It's really sacred to indigenous people. And Thomas Berry, who was an ecologian, he died here a few years back. He has said that to get a hold on to where we're at and where we should be going, we have to start reading about the shamans, because they knew what sacred was. So I've got two books ready to go this winter. So that's how I try to get into what you're discussing and talking about. How do I understand this?
And I think it's important to recognize that sacred is beyond the politics of religion, you know, and it's also moves it, oddly enough, for me anyway, closer to science, because it begins to recognize the interconnectedness of different systems and that type of thing, right? Like it recognizes that. I mean, and there's you know, science on meditation and that type of thing, how it affects our bodies. That, you know, how it affects our bodies to be in nature and that type of thing. And, so that sacredness brings it closer in that direction for me. Oh, what are we going to say to her?